Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Being that I live in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's get ready to dive into these confessions with people I know and people that I've never met.
I am so nervous for this episode because it's my last one for this year and for the second season of The City Confessions. As you guys know or may not know, for new listeners or old listeners, the way I normally format this whole podcast is that I start a solo episode whenever I am starting fresh in terms of a season, and then I have guests come on and I interview them and have them tell their story and their confession, and then I will have my own confession at the end to kind of wrap everything up. And the reason why I'm so hesitant and just like nervous right now is because I've been wanting to do this episode for the longest, for a year actually, and this is what sparked me to start this whole podcast, and I already feel like I'm literally tearing up and I don't even know why. I'm not even sure if I'm going to post this, but I think I'm going to make this super just raw and real and not even do much editing, to be honest, but here it goes. I feel like I've been holding on to this for the longest. And if I think about it, it's not even that serious, but maybe I'm just being dramatic. And I know it's like so suspenseful. It's like, girl, just talk. But this episode is going to be a therapy session for myself. It's going to be a venting session. I'm pretty sure it's also going to be me rambling, so bear with me, and it's really tough for me, but I know in my soul that this is a time to tell my story and just to kind of release it into the end, to the world, so I can move on and just live my best life and ring in 2020 with the best intention and chapter, if that makes sense. Okay. I just need like a moment to myself for a little bit. Okay. So my biggest confession so far is that I actually had open heart surgery 3 years ago, specifically on September 20th, 2016. And I think for me, it was a very, I don't even want to use the word traumatic, but it was such a life-changing experience because just the way I found out and what I went through, and I don't think I was fully aware of what was happening at the time, and I don't think that I fully accepted what was happening. I was like in denial, and I was in the state of almost like, oh, this isn't happening to me. Like, I put on this huge facade, and it's crazy to think that it took me a year after to fully say like, wow, like what I went through was a huge deal. And 3 years later, I'm like, finally able to even talk about it, because so many people don't know about it, not even some of my closest friends, which again is just like it's very telling of how I handled the situation. And not to say that I handled it in a bad way, I handled it in the way that was best suitable for me at that time. And I can count literally on like my fingers right now how many people I confided in it. It was obviously my family and maybe four of my closest friends, and that's it. And so I just want to talk about it and talk about how I found out and just the whole journey of it and reflection and what I've learned and what I want to do and just the whole shebang. I don't really even have like a schedule or like a markdown of what I want to say. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, I'm really, really into health and fitness and healthy eating and working out and that whole shebang. I got into it when I was in college, and I've been pretty much consistent with making that a core value in my life till this day. So yep, I have like so much snot. I should like grab tissue right now, but anyways, so I remember going to the doctors to do a annual checkup, my regular physician, and I think all of you guys should do that as well, because I think when we grow older, we tend to you know, like forget our appointments or not even schedule it. And the biggest thing I've learned is that health is everything. So just put that on your radar. So I went in, and I have asthma, by the way. I've been hospitalized for it when I was young, like when I was 4 or 5. So that is something that I always check also when I go to the doctors. I remember going in, and it was like a regular checkup. You know, they listen to your heart. And I remember she was like, oh, I hear like a heart murmur, but it shouldn't be anything serious. But, you know, just in case, why don't you go to a cardiologist to check it out? And it did not have any, at least for me, I didn't think it was a red flag or anything. So I did. And I went to the heart doctor. I went to the cardiologist. They did like an EKG and a sonogram, which is basically when they put these, I don't even know all the technical terms, so please excuse like that part of this component, I guess. But long story short, I had a sonogram, and that's essentially when you're like laying down, almost like you're pregnant, and they're like listening to, you know, my heartbeat and taking photos. And it was like, it took forever. It was like 30 minutes. And I just remember like the girl who was doing it, she just gave me this vibe like something was wrong, you know? And that was the first time when I was like, okay, should I be concerned? So when she was done, I was like, oh, is it normal? And she goes, oh, you know, like it's not my job to like I can't, you know, say anything, like just wait for the doctors to like talk to you about your results, but you do get it instantly. So I was waiting in the room, and I just remember my cardiologist coming in and just saying like, hi, so basically we have discovered that you have a hole in your heart in the right side, the right atrium. And she's like, we don't know how big it is because the sonogram doesn't tell you how big it is, but we would like to start with a procedure. So not a surgery, a procedure that basically, I feel like I literally should be Googling all of this, but I don't even think you guys really care about the terms. But it was a procedure that is not invasive or not, you know, doesn't really cut me open. It would basically, on the side of your hip, they will like put something in there to kind of close out the hole. But they needed to find out whether or not that was possible. So then I remember My first reaction was, okay, that doesn't seem so bad. You know, like, whatever. Like, I was kind of just, like, not absorbing what she was saying. And I remember leaving. I was working. And I went to my – this was during, like, a lunch break. And I remember just feeling all sorts of weight. This was, like, in July in the summer. I remember going back to work. And it was just bothering me. And I remember calling my mom, just being like, oh, the doctor found out that I have a hole in my heart. Like, I don't know. She's saying that I need to go for a procedure or whatever. But we were both still, one, in shock. But two, I didn't know the severity of it, I guess you can say. And then I remember we scheduled for this procedure that took place. And it was kind of like a two-part procedure where they put me not asleep, but, you know, a little unconscious. And they put a camera down my throat to see, to physically see the how big the hole was. And during this time, I remember it was one of the worst experiences of my life. And the reason why I say this is that, mind you, this isn't the surgery. This is basically just a pre, what, like, research. And they gave me medicine and anesthesia, but it wasn't the strong one. It was supposed to be the one that's like, you know, you don't really feel it. But long story short, I had a really, really bad reaction to the medicine. And I remember I was freaking out. It was one of those, like, things where you see on movies where you are unconscious, but you are conscious. I know it makes no freaking sense, but I just remember laying there. And they were doing whatever the hell they were doing. And I just started crying. Like, I remember I was tearing up because I was aware of what was happening. But I felt like I wasn't living in my body. Like, I was having an outer body experience. It was the trippiest and scariest thing in the world. And I remember just, I was freaking out. And then I remember one of the nurses, like, noticed, and she was like, oh my God, she's crying. Like, you know, like, they were like, we don't know what's happening. And I was basically just, I got up, and I don't even know, but I was just having a crazy moment. And I had to, like, yeah, I'm not gonna go into much details, but I will say that was the first time when I thought about the world, and I was like, there is something else after life. And I know I'm like kind of going in another direction with this, but I just remember thinking, like, there's no way I can experience this. Maybe it was the drugs, but I just had a really horrible experience. They gave me another medicine. I woke up from it and they said, your hole is way too big. You know, there's no way for us to fix this except for open heart surgery. And I remember thinking to myself, like, not being in the right state of mind, being like, okay, let's do it. I was like, let's do it right now. And they were just like, no, miss, you need, like, preparation for this. You can't just, like, go into the surgery. But I think my mindset was, like, I want to get this fixed right now. Like, let's do it. You know, like, I didn't want to waste any more time. I felt like I was already, like, one foot in, like, just do the damn thing. looking back, I realized how crazy and silly I sounded. But so that's, like, the first, like, I don't even know, first hurdle in my journey. So we finally discovered that there was no way for me to patch up my hole in a non-invasive way. Open heart surgery was the only next option. And from from the time of after the first procedure to the actual surgery, it was such a blur. I just remember, and again, I was working at the time, and this was during the summertime. I had so many doctor visits that, like, you guys cannot even imagine. Like, I went to the hospital for like a meeting with the surgeons. I had what is that even called when they put you under, not under, like in that machine? Wow, I'm blanking right now. I need to figure it out. Hold on. Okay, I had to Google what it was because it was bugging me. But basically, it was a CT scan. I'm sure you guys know what that is. It's when they, like, put you in this, like, bed, essentially. And it's the whole purpose is, like, for, like, the x-ray images, like, so they can get x-ray of, like, your heart. But it was just so annoying, and I think I'm, like, secretly claustrophobic, but I just remember having to stay still. You, like, go in, and they would just, it was all these, like, noises, like, beep, beep, and it was so annoying in your ears. You have to stay still. I just remember thinking, like, oh, my God, what if I need to, like, scratch myself? Like, what if I have an itch? Like, you couldn't do that. It was for, like, 30 minutes, and then on top of that, a part of it had, like, breathing exercises they wanted me to do, like, hold my breath, like, release it. It was, yeah, maybe I'm being, like, a baby and dramatic, but it was just really intense. And I remember just, like, literally the whole summer I was going through all these, like, tests. And the craziest part is that I kept it a secret. Like, I just kept telling, like, my boss, like, oh, I have this and I have that. And, like, the thing with these tests is that it is very time consuming. You're not just going there for like half an hour. Like, you're literally there for like at least an hour and a half to 2 hours. And it was just crazy. But the next thing I want to talk about is just, I remember going to the hospital to meet with the surgeon. And I didn't know that this was like a pre-meeting before the surgery. I thought it was more of like a generic doctor's meeting. And I remember showing up, and I had two of my doctors there, and they were like, oh, are you here by yourself? And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm like 24. And they're like, okay, like, is your like parents here? And I was like, no, because, you know, I'm just super dependent. I didn't know how serious the surgery or the meeting was going to be. But they basically pulled up like all my images, and they walked me through the whole procedure, and they gave me an option of like cutting me like under my like breast, I guess you can say, like the side of it or down the middle. And at first I was like, do it under, because like I don't want a scar. But then the doctor was like, that's going to be almost more painful, and like your healing process is going to take much longer. And then he said, like, oh, if my wife had to do this, I would advise her to do the general like incision, you know, in the front of like your chest. So like I like obviously took his advice and I said yes. But up until this point, I didn't give two thoughts to the procedure. I was so much in denial, and I was just so much, I didn't know what was happening. And I think looking back, I guess that worked in my favor to a certain extent, because I was just so positive. Like I don't know. I don't think they were probably shocked by how I handled the news too. Like, I was just so open, and I was like, okay, like, that's fine. Like, yeah. Almost like I can't wait for the surgery. It's like weird. But let's fast forward to the surgery, September 20th. I remember, so they knew that I was really adamant about just like having the correct drugs that would put me completely under after I went through my other experience with the anesthesia. So I remember going in. My surgery, I think, was 7:30. My mom and I took a cab there. I love my mom so much. I mean, I sometimes forget, like, what, like, she went through. We arrived in the morning, and I remember I changed my clothes. I was in the hospital gown, and they gave me a hairnet. I put it in, and I was just laying there for them to take me to the surgery room. And I remember one of my surgeons came in to see how I was doing, and I had sent him an email a month before, just being like, "Hey, can you please?" So the story is like everywhere. I remember a month before the surgery, not even a month, 2 weeks before the surgery, I did the not unthinkable, but the stupidest thing. I Googled like open heart surgery scars, and I started to freak out because I was like, oh my God, these scars are so big. They're going to be so ugly. Like, I didn't even think about it until that day. So I remember shooting one of my surgeon email just being like, "Hi, I Googled the scars and they kind of look crazy big. Can you like please make sure you don't do it that big on me?" And he was like, "Don't worry, I'll like try my best." So the morning of, he sees me, he meets me, and then he has a Sharpie. And I remember him marking how big my scar would be, which is about, I'm like looking at it right now, maybe like 2 inches. And it was fine with me. I didn't have a choice. This is like, I don't know if it was life or death, but it was basically, you know, like a health thing. So I remember saying bye to my mom and giving her a kiss, and they rolled me away, and I just remember seeing like white lights, like literally what you freaking see in movies. And they were just asking me like in protocol, like questions like, "What is your name? You know, what are you doing today?" And I remember just being, again, the best patient. I'll recall my name. I would be like, "I'm here to get open heart surgery, and like I'm getting my closure for my ASD, which is like the term for atrial septal defect." And I remember going to the room. There's like a million people, and I just remember it was so cold. Like, I remember the room was like ice cold. There was like 5 nurses and like tools everywhere, and just like it was like an igloo. And I remember they like put me in this like metal table, and then I just remember the one of the anesthesia girl thingy, whatever they call them, she was like, "Okay, I'm gonna give you, you know, basically your medicine, or not medicine, your drugs, and just think of a happy place." She's like, "Think of a happy place, have good memories, because the way you're thinking about now is also going to be how you wake up." I don't know how accurate that was, but I remember just being like, okay, I took a breath in. All I could think about was the beach and like sunset and my feet on the sand and just like that. And that was my last thought. And I went through surgery. 7, 8, 9, 10. I think it took 6 hours. And the next thing I remember was waking up in the ICU. I was in the ICU for, I want to say, a day or 2 days. I remember waking up, and it was in the middle of the night. Actually, I woke up. My mom, I remember seeing a glimpse of my mom, and then obviously she left. I was so drugged up, I don't really remember. And then I remember waking up in the middle of the night. There was a nurse watching me. I remember I was in so much pain. All I remember, I feel so bad because I think I was like really mean to her. But I just remember telling her like, "Oh my God, I'm in so much pain. Like, please give me something. Like, give me something." And I remember she was like, not making it, but obviously getting it. But in my head, she took way too long. And I was like, "Oh my God, I need it right now." And she's like, "Yeah, I'm like getting, you know, like your drugs, essentially." And I remember them just putting it into Oh my God, why am I blanking out? What are those like bags called when they put you on the IV? They put me in the IV and I had tubes everywhere. Like everywhere. They even put that thing, it's kind of gross, but like, you know, like I couldn't use the bathroom. Like, so if I ever peed, like I had a tube there. I mean, I don't remember that. Or like, I don't remember peeing. But anyways, so there's me in the ICU and everything is just a blur. Transfer me to the regular room a day or two after. Still a blur. I just remember being miserable. Like, my mom came every day. Some of my friends came. Shout out. You guys know who you are. But yeah, I was just, I don't know. I didn't have an appetite. The nurses would come, literally, they wouldn't leave me alone, but I love them. They were so nice. And there was a nurse named Angela, and she was the sweetest person. This was in Mount Sinai Hospital, by the way, guys. They are like the best hospital ever. They took such good care of me, and I don't know. They just made me feel safe and loved. yeah, I remember them. I don't know. I just had checkups, you know, every like hour or so. Kept putting medicine in me. But I just was not handling everything well. I was in so much pain. My chest hurt. My back hurt. Because apparently they also, I don't know what they do for your back. I didn't really eat. I lost so much weight. And the funniest, not even funny, like the saddest part is that like I was still like on social media, like nobody knew. Like I remember still posting. And I remember like not disclosing any of this. And I think like my biggest regret, I mean, I don't have any, but if there was one thing I could change, it would probably be to, like, be a little more open so I could have, like, just talk more about it and made it more real, you know? Like, it was such, like, I don't know. I'm not saying I was a fake, but basically I was. Like, I was laying in the hospital bed, but I remember posting, again, not stories, but, like, posting. And I felt so, I remember I had, like, I think, like, a sponsored post. I don't even remember, but it was just so ridiculous because I didn't take time for myself, and that's something that like I'm learning to do so now, and it's like why I'm like trying to tell my story. I don't know if Rochelle is listening, but I remember she's my best friend, guys. She's I met her at work and I was still working at the time. I remember she came to visit, or she was planning to visit, and I remember feeling so weak and just like miserable. Like I really didn't want to see anybody, and I texted her just being like, hey, like I don't feel good, I don't feel well, I don't want to see anybody, like can you come tomorrow? And she's like, yeah, I'll come tomorrow. But I don't know, it just goes to show that like where I was at the time. Let's just speed through it all. I got out of the hospital, I think I was there 5 nights. I went home, and this, oh, wait. The one thing I remember is that before I left, before they discharged me, this nurse came, and she's, like, talking to me. She's, like, I had, again, like, so many tubes in me, and just, like, I don't even know. And she was talking to me, and then basically her strategy was to distract me. And then she like yanked out something in me. And I remember just like screeching in pain. And again, I don't know all the technical terms. But basically, I have underneath my scar, I have like 3 staples. It's not funny, but I guess humor gets me through a lot of things. Basically, that's what she like yanked out. And I really don't even know what the hell they did in that surgery. But yeah,
It was just so painful. So anyways, I went home, and that's when the real struggle began. It was 3 months of healing, but I couldn't do anything. I obviously took a medical leave from work. I was in bed the whole time, but like the simple movement of physically getting up, like, you know, when you just like get up, like your chest, at least for me, that like was so, so painful. They gave me this like heart, this pillow shaped like a heart to like squeeze, to like get up, forget about using the restroom. That was just not even happening. My ribs hurt, my chest hurt, everything hurt. I had a nurse come to my place to check it out. And at the time, I was living with my parents. And, like, I'm so thankful I did. And looking back, everything, I swear to God, happens for a reason with the universe. Because there was just no way I could have, like, not been living with them at that time. Also, freaking health insurance. Like, oh, my bills were insane. Thankfully, I had health insurance from my job at the time. That really saved me, but it's just crazy how it all happened. And yeah, I mean, that's basically my story in a nutshell, not going into details. Also, because I don't really remember. Like, I feel like everything was such a blur. I just have like standout moments of like the first procedure and how I reacted to it. And then like again, seeing just the lights before they put me to sleep, waking up, like little stuff here and there I remember. But the whole point of this is that I also am into astrology and my sign. And Aquarians are very humanitarian. They always want to give back. They always want to do something good for the world. I've got to the point of going back to one of my other confessions this past, I think the beginning of this season, was just like how I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And I feel like I kind of know now. Like, I want to do good for the world. I want to like spread awareness of, I don't know, like owning your scars and being vulnerable and telling your story and being real. Like, I'm so tired of like social media and this whole glamour life and just like blah, blah, blah. Like, I've been doing it for so long and I'm so grateful. I don't want to sound like I'm ungrateful, but I feel like it's so much more. Like, I want to use this platform, and I'm so happy that I started this podcast because this has been my baby. Like, I've not made money from this. Like, it's just me being, again, passionate about being a New Yorker, like sharing stories and just being real and raw. And I've just learned so much from my experience, and there's so much I want to say. I don't even know where to begin. So my confession is that I had open heart surgery in 2016. My other confession is that for the longest, I was so ashamed of like my scar. Like, I don't think like I fully knew how it would affect me. I love summertime. I love going to the beach. I love dressing up, and it really, really affected, like, not even like my body image, but like my confidence, because I felt like I couldn't like wear swimsuits, especially like the typical, like, you know, triangle top swimsuits that are like the go-to style. And I remember just like when the summer came, I like felt like my options were very limited, and I always had to wear like bandeaus if there was a nice New Year's Eve. You know, New Year's Eve is coming up. There's so many like cute dresses that are like a little bit low cut. Not that I even wear like low cut, but obviously my scar is not, you know, you can't get away with some of the styles. I remember just like being like, I can't wear that. Or like when brands sometimes will like give gifting like some of their lookbooks. I'm like, I can't wear any of these. Like, they're so cute, but I can't wear them. And you know what? I could wear them. It's not that I physically can't. It was just like I was not ready to, you know, talk about it or like to show it. And like, regardless of it, it's like nobody, like, it's such an attention seeking thing, you know. Like, I remember thinking, yeah, I can totally rock this at the beach, or I can totally rock this in a photo, but like, I know people are gonna stare, and I know people are gonna, like, I don't even say be rude, but it's one of those things where, like, if I was in somebody else's shoe, like, and I see it, like, you're not gonna make a big deal out of it, but it is noticeable, you know. So yeah, I remember I actually had some shoots, and I would just like tell them, like, oh, I'm not comfortable wearing that. And I think even some of my friends who don't know about my experience, they think that I'm like conservative, and I'm totally not. Like, I think people think that even the stuff that I wear, like, online or like in person, they're like, oh, she's always like covered up. But it's not because I want to be. It's because I feel like I have to be. So yeah, but I've managed to make a lot of things work. And if there's anything that's cute, I usually have my mom kind of, you know, fix it up a little bit. And my third confession following up with this is that for a while, I felt like that was like, I don't know, going to be an obstacle like to dating. So I am single, and I started to like date again the beginning of this year. And it was always one of those things where I was just so nervous, because I was like, first of all, I'm really private. Obviously, it took me 3 years to even talk about this. But I was just like, how am I even going to open up about this experience to a guy, right? One, right? That's like the first part. But two, like, do you even tell them? Like, and then the third part was, when you get intimate with somebody, like, are they going to judge me? Are they going to find it unattractive? And yes, it's so stupid, because if they do, they're clearly not the right person for me. But it's just like another thing that I have to consider, whereas other people don't. Yeah, so whenever I'm dating somebody, I'm always like, oh, this is going to be something that I need to talk about. And it's really not even that serious. Like, not that I've kind of vomited all of this right now, I feel so good. Like, I feel so like a burden has just been off. There's so much I feel like I didn't say that I want to say. I guess what I've learned from it is that if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. It was the first health scare I had. I consider myself to be extremely healthy and active. I'm, you know, like, the whole reason why I found out about this was because I was so active and proactive and considerate of my health that I wanted to get a checkup just voluntarily. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have any symptoms, which is what another thing that a lot of people were shocked about. They were like, how were you exercising and not feeling pain or not feeling this? Because apparently there are symptoms of when you have basically a hole in your heart. Like, you have breathing problems, and like, I already have asthma. So for me, none of this, you know, I didn't have any symptoms, and I almost feel like I was just super, super lucky, because that specific day I went and my doctor noticed it. Like, there could have been so many factors where this would have been unnoticed, and I don't even want to think about what could have happened. But I really, really value health, and I say this so seriously. Like, if you are feeling sick or not, if you're, first of all, if you're feeling sick, go to the doctors, go check it out. Like, it's better to be safe than sorry. Any pain, anything that you feel like it's, you know, something is not right, go get it checked out. And then secondly, even if you're not, even if you're feeling on top of the world, still go for like a checkup and get your blood test and everything, because some things are not detected until you get it tested out. Like, I cannot vouch for that any more than I can just going off my own experience. Yeah, I just realized health is so, so important, and that's physical, your emotional health, your mental health. And that's why I've been learning to like put myself first and just like really be in tune with what makes me happy, what makes me feel the best. Because that you need to feel 100% so you can show up in the world 100%. So as I'm closing out this episode, I think I just want to take a moment to first love myself and just really tell myself that, like, damn girl, you went through something crazy but beautiful, and you know you're good, and like the fact that I'm able to talk about it now is amazing, and I hope that it can inspire you guys to kind of be comfortable with pain and healing, and that there is power to vulnerability, and that life is so much bigger than what's in front of you. I am learning to do more for the world, as cheesy as that sounds. And I have a few projects that I have in mind for 2020. For you, those who don't know what a golden year is, it's basically the year that, what is it called? Okay. Your age, you turn that age on your birth date. So my birthday is January 27, and I turned 27 this year. And I remember just thinking to myself when it happened, like, this is going to be my golden year, whatever that means, right? It's supposed to be like your best year yet. Like, something is supposed to happen. Something good is supposed to happen. And I think my good highlight is this. It's all of you guys. It's being so open and just raw, and I don't know, I feel so happy that I'm able to like talk about this, and hopefully I do publish this. But yeah, I want to do more. I want to take this podcast to another level. I want to do some projects on the side that's gonna, you know, help other people in a bigger scope than what appears to be on Instagram. And I don't know. I'm just trying to soak in everything that has just happened the past 45 minutes for me. Not that I'm wanting to bury this experience or this episode or any of that. But I think I finally have come to terms with what happened to me. And yes, it might not be as, you know, this, I don't know, like, I don't know what you guys were expecting in the beginning. And you guys might be like, okay, it's not that serious. But again, like, everybody's story is valid. Everything that you've been through is valid. There's no such thing as I went through something worse, or I, you know what I mean? It's not a comparison game. It's just about sharing and storytelling. And I think as humans, we crave connection, we crave relatability, and just, yeah, those are I want to show up to the world my authentic self. And this is me being as authentic as possible, because it's been something that I've been hiding and holding on for whatever reason. And another thing I want to talk about is that, like, trust in timing. I think when I, after the first year, I was like, okay, I need to talk about it. I kept, you know, it was always in the back of my head, but like, I was not ready to talk about it. So I think timing is key. It's, if you're holding on to something or whatever the case is, just trust in timing, and you'll just know it. You'll know it in your gut when something is right. And this applies to everything in life, in your career, in love, in friendship. Something doesn't feel right to you, it does not feel right to you. And I'm always preaching about the universe, because I really, really, really do believe that the universe has your back. And I'm so, so happy that the universe has given me the opportunity and the clarity and the path to finally speak my truth. Also, being in silence is so amazing. And being able to breathe has done wonders for me. And now I'm starting to sound crazy. So yeah. That's my story, guys. I hope you guys found this useful. Useful? I don't know if that's the right word. But yes, I am wrapping up this episode, this solo episode. I am wrapping up 2019. I am so, so excited that for all the amazing things that are going to come for 2020, I want to wish you guys all a beautiful holiday. Happy New Year. Stay tuned for season 3 of The City Confessions. I will probably take a break and not launch the next episode into the end of January. Actually, I should launch it on my birthday, because I think it falls on a Tuesday, and that's kind of the schedule that I've been following for this podcast. But yep, that's it for now. I am wishing you guys all the best and sending you positive vibes, positive energy, and yeah, just live your best life. I love you guys so, so, so much. I love how, like, my mood has transitioned from the beginning of being, like, such a crazy emotional wreck to, like, being so happy and full right now. It's amazing what, you know, honesty can do for you. Okay, I'm literally ranting now. But, yes, thank you so, 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 so much for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please share it and leave a positive review if you can. That is like my one holiday request and wish from you guys. And yeah, stay tuned for season 3 coming in 2020. All right, bye guys.